Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste, to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, on this feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary to her cousin Elizabeth, we first focus on what she did. As a young girl, probably 14 according to the time period, soon as the Archangel Gabriel had departed from Mary in Nazareth, she had believed so firmly that what the Lord had spoken to her would be true that she acted on it. The Archangel Gabriel there not only said that she was to become the mother of the eternal Son of God, but that Elizabeth, her elderly cousin, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month for her who was considered barren, as a proof that nothing is impossible with God. Notice that the Archangel Gabriel didn't say, "She's an elderly woman pregnant for the first time, she's probably going to have a problem, you should go." Just the mere suggestion that there might be a need was enough for this young girl to go, and not just eventually make it, but to go with haste, to book it, to rush. Off she went, 60 miles from north to south, from the hill on which Nazareth had been built, all the way down to the lowest place on earth in Jericho, and then that 15-mile hike up to Mount Zion, and then over the other side, down again to Ein Kerem, where she would have entered into the house of Zechariah as we see today. She probably traveled in a caravan. There's no evidence whatsoever she was accompanied by St. Joseph, despite all the art scenes, because St. Joseph wouldn't have been shocked if he had been accompanying her the whole time as to the genesis of her pregnancy. He wouldn't have been as shocked. He was shocked because when she finally came back with a serious baby bump, he knew that something had occurred while she was distant. But this young girl went. Why? Because she was possessed with a certain love. Love that even the mere suggestion that somebody might need her assistance, she would be there. And she didn't go alone. She went with faith, not just in general in God. She went with faith that everything that the Archangel Gabriel had said had transpired. That she was now carrying, as an embryonic blastocyst, turning in double the amount of cells every day, but way before the missionary of mercy sent by the Father's bosom had even developed the tiniest defeat, she was training him to be that itinerant preacher he would become. And when she brought him into the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth, filled by the Holy Spirit, they rejoiced, because the Holy Spirit allowed Elizabeth to see that not just her young cousin was coming to give this corporal work of mercy and help her in her first pregnancy late in life, but that she was bringing her the Lord. How am I worthy of this, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as she had praised Mary, Mary's soul and spirit burst out. She couldn't contain it within. Doubtless she had been meditating on these words on that 60 plus mile journey. But it was really a synthesis of her entire prayer. Because if you examine her famous Magnificat, her Canticle of Joy, we see that it is an interweaving of all of the praises given by the heroines of the Old Testament. Mary had taken what Jael said. Mary had taken what Hannah had said. Mary had taken what Deborah had said and brought it all into one piece, and recognized that all the blessings that God had given to the women of the Old Testament, He was focusing in on her. That she was the fulfillment of so, she was carrying the fulfillment of so many hopes. So she couldn't contain her joy. Burst out, "My soul magnifies not me and how lucky I am. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because He's looked on me in my humility. For this generation, for this reason, all generations will call me blessed." That same Mary, who went with haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth in her need, constantly comes to visit her sons and daughters in need. The sons and daughters that son she was carrying entrusted to her when he was dying on the cross. And when we look over the course of history, we don't have to believe with Catholic faith in any of the Marian apparitions, but they do defy human logic. All of the aspects that came. Mary went to Juan Diego to help this whole hemisphere come to accept her son. Mary went to Saint Bernadette. She went to the three shepherd children in Fatima, whose 100th anniversary we'll celebrate next year. She was constantly coming to bring us her son and to help us to live that type of way that her son's life will transform our life. One of my favorite Marian scenes is the wedding feast of Cana. And we see something really important there. She noticed that there was a problem. She noticed before the mother-in-law knew that there was a problem. She noticed before the wine steward even recognized he had a disaster on his hands. So she immediately went and basically, like a Jewish mom can, got her son to do what he wasn't intending to do in the first place. And I like to think that so often Mary's still pulling her son aside, saying, "You see your son down there at the altar. You see your daughter out there. He needs your help for this. She needs your assistance for this. She needs hope. He needs strength and courage. Help. He has no blank." We can be confident that Mary at her son's side is interceding for us hastily, like the best mother would. We were able to see St. Monica's tomb a couple days ago when we were at the Church of St. Augustine. And we know that St. Monica prayed for 32 years for the conversion first of her husband, 17, and 15 for the conversion of her son, Augustine. So much did a mother's love keep her praying all the time. Mary loves us more than Monica loved Patricius and Aurelius Augustinus. And so we have incredible confidence that she is rapidly and always going to her son whenever she notices that we have the least need for something trivial like wine at a wedding reception, or something truly important like the state of the direction of our life or a real crisis that we're going through. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to cry out, "Who are we that the mother of our Lord should come to us with that same holy haste with which she went to Ein Karim?" But then there's a third application here. Mary is praying that we would be transformed by that Son, no longer an embryonic Savior within, but someone she has given to the world, to be so transformed by Him that we would follow Him with the same faith we see in her. So that we, having been visited and carrying within the same Jesus Christ she bore for 9 months within her womb, held in her arms in swaddling clothes, presented to others, that we who receive that same Jesus within might likewise be so transformed that we will go with haste to help others when we know they're in need, to be able to make our whole life a commentary in the words of consecration. This is my body, this is my blood, given out of love for you. To sing throughout the entire world our own Magnificat, how the Lord the Almighty has done great things for us, has given us the vocation to be saints, so that all other generations, including our own, if we receive this vocation and do this, will call us blessed too. On this pilgrimage, Mary has been sent to us as a guide. Throughout the centuries, she has received the title Stella Maris, Star of the Sea. For all those mariners out there in the ocean, prior to GPSs, prior even to good maps, they would at least be able to get their coordinates by looking up into the heavens. And we look for Mary, no matter how stormy the seas are in our life, for that coordinate. Second Vatican Council said she guides the pilgrim people of God toward their eternal destination. So today, Mary comes to visit us, sent by her Son. Mary comes to visit us with her Son. Mary comes praying for us that we will allow her Son to enter into our life at the depth He wants to, and so transform us that we will go with the Caritas Christi urgendo nos, with the love of Christ urging us on, speeding us on our path, so that we might continue His work of charity, the work that Mary herself shows us so beautifully how to carry out. As we prepare to receive now the same Jesus whom she carried, may she help us to carry Him with the same holy alacrity, because there are many Elizabeths out there in need. Praise be Jesus Christ.